What's up, y'all? You're about to listen to the 20-Minute Morning Show for Tuesday, March 14th. So Angela Bassett's attitude when she didn't win the Oscar is what everybody's talking about now, Sean. Jamie Lee Curtis won for Best Supporting Actress. She's won an Oscar. She was excited when they showed Angela Bassett's reaction to losing. She should have had a better smile on her face.
No, BJ, she had that reaction of like when somebody just when you just find out somebody stole something from you, you'd be looking like, what the heck?
What did they steal?
You just didn't take my.
That wasn't your Oscar.
That was her reaction.
It wasn't your Oscar to win. This time, Angela Bassett, this is a trial for you, sister. You got to learn how to have the right attitude. Everybody's watching. The children are watching.
You can ready get it.
What?
You are getting ready to get it.
What?
What the heck you mean it wasn't her time? It has always been her time. Name a person who has the body of work as Angela Bassett. When Angela Bassett played Tina Turner, you thought it was Tina Turner who played herself.
Okay.
What are you talking Check. About?
You're
she
right.
She is a phenomenal actress.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how
talking
to
about?
Lose gracefully.
And
we all know that. We know Angela Bassett deserves an Oscar.
Wait a minute.
But when you
her
don't win, what you can't make
is about.
You can't make
her
them people give it to you.
Her whole career is about losing gracefully. How dare you?
How dare you walk in there with a gun and say, give me my Oscar. What is she going to do? Give me my Oscar.
She just had, it was just a reaction. It was a truthful reaction.
It's a trial.
Like I said.
This is a severe trial for her to be patient and wait her turn to win an Oscar.
Wait her turn. It's been her turn.
But you can't make them.
She just keeps getting snubbed.
You can't make them people give you an Oscar.
What you mean? She earned that Oscar.
We know that. We in the black community know that. I know you don't like talking about this because you one of the black people that's afraid of being canceled. If you're against drag queens reading to your children, you know, if you say anything against that, you're afraid. You're afraid of being canceled.
What could I be canceled from?
I don't know what you could be canceled from. I don't know what you're worried about.
What could I be canceled from? So I don't even know what you're talking about.
Now, this is the thing that is balanced to this. I feel sorry for my young brothers and sisters who are caught up in this lifestyle. I love them.
You
and
get
it's not
mad
their
when
fault.
People don't co-sign what you're saying.
You ain't got to co-sign with
so,
me.
So what are you talking about? What are you attacking me for?
I'm just saying that...
I just stated that children should not be allowed to make such a permanent decision about their identity. So what are you talking about that I'm not saying anything when I just said that message?
Well, what I'm saying is that I have compassion for the LGBTQ community because I come off like I'm just anti them and what they're what they identify with. I'm not that. I'm not
you
that at all.
Because you cross-dressed until you was 8. You told us that yourself.
Yeah, I put on my mama's dress and shoes. And, you know, you put on a wig when you were a little child. And your mom, look. She's like, take
you
that
teenager.
Stuff off.
You was teenager.
No, what was that?
You was teenager.
So, Sean, we got in a deep discussion the other day. Saw this article about... It's not racism that is the problem. It is fatherlessness. And we got some people to call in. I want you to hear what his brother had to say. He actually agreed with you.
Hey, BJ, you guys, how y'all doing? This is Pastor Hawkins. My sister's right. I understand where you're coming from. But I don't know if you're aware that they send black men off to the war in a racist move. And the women had to work. And when the men came back home, racism didn't give the men a job. So racism played a major part. It definitely separated the home. And even today, racism today, my brother, is still a major problem. Thank you.
The pastor made an excellent point. He's saying that racism is the root of you leaving your family.
So racism makes me say, all right, y'all, wife, son, children, where you going, daddy?
Yeah.
You know, there's too much racism,
right.
So I'm gonna leave my family, y'all. Good luck to y'all. I'm moving away. I'm gonna try to deal with racism on my own, but y'all, good luck to y'all. But daddy,
right, because
daddy, where you going?
I mean, why do you have to act out a whole skit? is you know what I'm saying? Just ridiculous. Anyway, you know, racism is the beginning of black absentee fathers. Racism is the beginning of black families splitting apart.
So, but you see how ridiculous this sounds. You said because there's so much racism, yes, that I'm gonna leave my family and my children fatherlessness because I can't deal with the pressure of racism.
It's like, BJ, you're just so surface. You know the havoc that racism's caused in the black community? You know what I'm saying? It oppresses you. It puts you in these circumstances. It keeps you from getting money. It dehumanizes you.
That's true.
It forces you to live in inhumane conditions.
But it doesn't.
You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't give me an
excuse. It causes depression.
It doesn't give me an excuse to leave my family. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care how hard it gets. I'm not leaving my children. We all going to make it together. We're going to figure this thing out. It shouldn't make you want to leave your family because you are facing racism.
I don't know. It's like you got a one-track mind or something. You know what I'm saying? You're not really listening to what people are saying, the conditions that racism put black Americans in. You know what I'm saying? It causes all types of havoc inside the home.
You're making a conscious decision to leave your child fatherless because of the vestiges of racism have come to a head and you saying you can't handle it. So the alternative is to leave my family vulnerable and just leave them and go. No, that's not a good excuse.
Is a byproduct of racism.
So, Sean, what is your opinion about people having weapons in their house? Because these stories of children killing other children, a 4-year-old shot and killed a 3-year-old in Houston, Texas, playing with a semi-automatic weapon. And I don't believe that we should have weapons in our houses because we're not, one, responsible with these weapons. And two, I don't believe you need a weapon in your house, a gun, to protect yourself.
And why not?
Well, I personally don't believe in carrying weapons. You know what I'm saying? I've never been a person who felt comfortable around weapons. I don't want one in my house. And this is going to be a debate because a lot of people are going to call in and think I'm sounding crazy.
So what do you rely on to protect you?
I rely on Almighty God for his protection and his angels surrounding me.
BJ, and that's true. God will protect you, the ultimate protection. But even David had a slingshot. Moses had a staff.
Yeah, Moses had a staff. Who else had some weapons? I mean, the wars were fought in the Bible. You know, you have heard the term, you live by the sword and you die by the sword. That's in the Bible, right?
Yes. But BJ, I'm indifferent about it. I would lean more towards you. I don't believe in guns and things like that. But, you know, like if somebody breaking your home with a gun, you know, like I just don't believe in guns, period. I don't believe in guns. I don't. You know what I'm saying?
This is what you need to do. If somebody breaking your house and they got a weapon, you just run towards them and say, "Praise the Lord." And you watch what happens. You're going to frighten them. They're going to drop the gun, and you're going to have the victory.
And they're going to say, well, since you want to praise the Lord, I'm going to let you praise him in person.
So, Sean, we got a text on our 888-370-9390 phone line. Mm-hmm. Somebody says the 6-year-old that we've been talking about, who's not going to be charged with shooting the teacher, the 6-year-old needs treatment and not be locked up. Something also needs to happen with the parents for allowing him access. Love your show. Listen every day. Bishop Jones. Thank you, Bishop Jones, for listening.
Oh, shout out to Bishop Jones. And also a shout out to Lovey. Lovey shows us a lot of love and support.
Yeah. But this is a question that we're going to have to answer because the crimes are being committed now by our infants. It used to be the young teenagers. Now we're dealing with 4, 5, 6-year-olds that are carrying weapons now. This is ridiculous.
It is. It's.
And this is our fault as parents. This is our fault, black community, because we didn't take our children out of these schools and raise them ourselves. We want to, listen.
Why are you
listen.
Always blaming us?
We want to keep our children in a godless school system where you can't even talk about God.
Our children.
You can't even talk about God. You can't talk about being black. It's our fault.
I mean, you just sound ridiculous. It's like you can't wait for the opportunity to bash black people. You act as if black people's children are the only children that have access to a gun laying around.
What happened to us?
We don't make guns. We don't own no gun factories. What the heck are you talking about?
What happened to us that we don't want to take responsibility for the lives of our children?
Who said we don't want to take responsibility for the lives of our children?
Take your children out of these godless schools, man.
And what school you got for them to go to?
Homeschool.
Homeschool? How are they going to homeschool when they got to pay the bills?
You better find a way. You better find a way to do it. You better find a way to do something different than what you're doing now.
Yeah. See, but not find a way to make the public schools serve us better.
It's obvious they're not going to, you're never going to get them to do that.
Yeah, right.
That the school system, the light of this world's education is dim and it's dark now.
Stop being scared of Goliath, David.
Man, look, you're the one that's scared to take responsibility.
Stop being scared of Goliath, David.
You want to depend on these godless school systems and these people that don't care about black children to keep on, well, we're going to keep a picket sign and we're going to keep going down to the school board and raising hell. Yeah, that's where you're going to be at. Mm-hmm. Michael Irvin, have you seen the latest on him?
I heard someone speaking about it, so I didn't read it for myself, so I can't, you know, say.
Well, this is.
I did hear some things.
Now, we thought when he put out that $100 million lawsuit that he was in the right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh man, he $100 million. He got them backed in the corner. And the people from Marriott said, all right, we tried to let you kind of slide out of this, but now we let everybody see the video. And he's touching on this woman about 4 or 5 times, talking to her. Then people that work at Marriott are co-signing what the girl said, that he propositioned her and made her feel uncomfortable. Now, remember, Michael Irvin was taken off the Super Bowl telecast because this incident happened at the Marriott right before the game. This evidence now is coming forward, and Michael Irvin said he didn't harass anybody, sexually assault anybody.
So you saying there's a video of him touching on her?
Video. He touched her 4 times.
Okay, see, I was the one that said, I always felt like something happened. I just thought he could deny it.
And now this is what they quoted. They said that, you ain't never experienced no big black man.
Wow.
And the lady, she like, oh man, what you doing?
How uncivilized.
Yeah. He said he was drunk when he came back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that because they're a celebrity, whoever, they've been used to women falling all over them.
Right.
But the new generation, she's like, who was this old black dude coming at me?
Right.
I don't know you. Now, the tides have turned in the Michael Irvin case. And we'll see how much he backpedals on this. But, man, leave these women alone.
Alone.
See, you know,
and stop thinking that money makes you invincible,
right,
and that you can have any and everybody you want.
He always hollering about how he's such a big Christian and Jesus this and Jesus that. And here
is. Well, I mean, you know, well, wait a minute, BJ. I mean, people do sin and mess up. He can still holler Jesus.
No.
Yes.
Don't be coming in our face. Espousing religion, and then you got this alternative lifestyle that you live, and you try to justify it to saying, well, Jesus paid it all. Jesus, no, I ain't perfect. No, man.
He is not the Pope, BJ.
I don't care, but stop pretending that you a holy man.
And we find out that even the righteous men who say they're righteous, the holy man, you know what I'm saying, got skeletons in their closet. I'm just saying, don't tell people that they can't still yell Jesus if they want to.
Well, Jesus said, you're going to say, Lord, Lord. And then he's going to turn around and look at you. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. I don't care if you used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. So these dollar stores are just popping up all over the country at breakneck speed.
Thank you, Lord.
So why are you so excited about the dollar stores opening? That's where you buy your food at?
No, I don't buy my food from there, but I buy, you know, my essential products from there. A lot of them.
I go to the dollar store and buy my cleaning products. Don't buy no food out, because you know that's a different brand of food that they ship to dollar stores than they do to regular commercial grocery stores. Y'all do know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that for a fact, right? Because this has been proven.
I don't know that for a fact, but I know that, you know, sometimes the food is not as fresh as you would like.
Right.
But a lot of people depend on that.
Yeah,
so,
you got to do what you got to do to survive. Need to be aware that these certain zip codes that, you know, it ain't the same Campbell's soup that you get at a regular grocery store. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, what you think? They got a different factory somewhere where they make Campbell's soup for the dollar store?
They probably do.
No, they don't.
See, that's the trick.
I can see if you said that, you know, the food was, you know, not as fresh as it is supermarket.
No.
But I mean, you think they would go, it's the dollar store. You think they would go through all that trouble?
Hey, look, to kill you, yeah. You remember that we in, I know you don't like talking about this. That's why this is our independent show. We can talk about whatever we want. But don't you ever think that there's not a plan to depopulate Black people?
And they use the food too.
I mean, Sean, I was watching the other day.
Take it too far,
but Sean, I was watching this the other day. They had this hamburger. This lady had a hamburger in a shoebox. And she kept the hamburger and French fries for 24 years.
Right.
And the hamburger bun was not molded. The burger wasn't molded. And the fries looked like the fries you find under your seat.
Yeah, but she didn't get it from the dollar store.
I know, but I'm saying that the food that you're eating is meant to kill you. Just think about that food is sitting inside of you. It's not digesting.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of things we eat are unhealthy, BJ. But just to think that they got a factory for dollar store food to make it look like supermarket food is ridiculous.
Dang. Hey, look, you heard of the Tuskegee experiment?
I just haven't heard of a dollar store having a different plant to manufacture supermarket food to kill you.
The 20 Minute Morning Show is a podcast production of BJ Murphy Media and Urban Entertainment News. Our show is written and produced by BJ Murphy and executive producer Sabra Robinson from our studios in Charlotte, North Carolina.